Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Seen the sun yet this morning again, but it's early here. Hollywood, Dono, Dan Day along here with you. Gentlemen, good morning. It's still dark out here, Dono. At least not snowing, though. It is snowing in parts of Florida at the moment. The weather is a little unusual all over the place. I will tell you, it is very cold in some parts of the country. I feel terrible. I got a buddy who lives in, I told you, in Milwaukee. He said it's like negative 30.
Oh. His mistake for living in Milwaukee. I agree.
I mean, if everyone had their choice, I feel like they'd probably want to live in a warmer place. Not that those cities aren't cool. I love those Midwest cities. I love Chicago. I love going to Chicago, but I went to one Bears game in my life, and we went. It was really late. It was like the last weekend of the season, so it was in in January or late December. I think it was in early January. Anyway, I've never in my life experienced that level of cold, and this is when I was a younger man when it didn't didn't bother me as much. I never have experienced something like that in my life. So the Soldier Field is right off the lake there, right? And the cold comes off of that lake. It is a bitter, bone chilling cold. And we were just sitting there, my wife and I, and it was very unpleasant. I'm not gonna lie to you. Now, with that being said, the tailgates up there are great. The fans are all very friendly. I've been to a couple of games up in the Midwest area. I've enjoyed myself. Speaking of Midwest area, we've been talking about Wisconsin, and they are obviously crying about this Xavier Lucas situation. They're threatening to sue and all that good stuff. I had a great experience going to a game in Madison. We loved Madison.
Yeah. Please continue in Miami.
Dan, you were up there.
You're dealing with an accident this morning and sitting on I-95.
Get rid of her. Dan, you are a Wisconsin guy, right? You spent some time up there. I loved Madison.
Yeah, I went to school there for a while.
So I went up there. This was years back, and South Florida was playing up there, so we went for a USF game, and I don't think the people in Wisconsin even knew what school we were. They probably had never even heard of us at that point, so they were like, we're walking up to the game, and they go, we're wearing the jersey, and they go, hey, welcome, you guys, you want a beer, you want a brat, that's all they eat is brats up there, and everyone was just, they were very, very nice when we went up there. Now I will say, Dono, I have not tailgated at a Hurricanes game in long, long, long time, because I've been working the games essentially since I came back down here. So between pregame, postgame, I covered the games for a while as the reporter here. So I haven't tailgated. I don't even know what the tailgate scene is like down here anymore. I feel like I'm very disconnected from that.
Yeah, I do not partake either, because I'm always there to work. But I have a lot of friends who tailgate. I walk by a lot of times before the games. I'll say hi to people. And I would say the tailgate game is pretty strong before Miami games. And I would assume I go to a lot more Hurricanes games than Dolphins games. I would assume the same thing applies. But, I mean, Hollywood, people go hard for University of Miami pregame tailgates. In fact, there's like a lot of people who just go to the games to tailgate and don't even necessarily go into the stadium, which I find odd. But they just want to, I guess, keep the party rolling out there, and they watch the game on TVs in the parking lot. But yeah, man, people turn it up in those tailgates out there. And I've also, like, a friend of mine who's been tailgating there for years, like, he'll bring a grill out there. He'll cook, like, fancy meals and nice steaks out there. So the tailgating scene is good. Like, at some point, if I ever stop, like, going to games to work, I would like to take in the full tailgate experience and, you know, get – I'll eat sometimes out there, but I never drink out there because, you know, I'm always there working. But someday I'll experience it.
I'd like to take part in one of them. I don't want to be the person that brings, you know, the TV and the grill.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It does look like a lot of work, but I will tell you some of the setups, and I do get to go through, you know, because it's amazing. We do our pregame starts 4 hours before the game kicks off, right? Our countdown to kickoff. And so we get there. I don't know, 5 hours, 4.5 hours before the games, you know, before the game kicks. And these guys are like, they're set up and they're rolling already. I mean, like, they are already, like, the grills are going, everything's, you know, working out there. Like, they spend a lot of time out there, these people. And I at some point though, Dono, maybe we should do it. We should just, like, call in sick for a day or something.
Yeah.
And just go out there and check out the scene. I don't know who's got the best tailgate these days. I know I'm guessing a lot of these, the Canes fans will probably, you know, argue who's got the best tailgate spread out there, but we may have to do that. I haven't done a Dolphins one either for a while. I, you know, usually if I go to a Dolphin game, I just kind of, you know, I usually take the Bright Line, to be honest. I like taking the Bright Line to Dolphins games or to any event at the stadium. You know, we'll go to the F1 and take the Bright Line. It's just easier. But
how does that work? You get off Aventura and take a shuttle.
Yeah, Aventura, you take the shuttle right over. It's actually a very convenient way of getting to the games. I'm not a huge fan of, like, having to race out of there and deal with the getting out of those lots and stuff. This way, you know, you take a bus. It just makes it very easy. I know the Dolphins now do have that park and ride thing as well, where you can park at, like, I think it's like the Golden Glades interchange. There's like a bus lot or something over there where you can park and take a bus over to the stadium. But I just prefer the Bright Line. It's a much easier way to get there. But I have not tailgated for anything in a while, man. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of like you in the fact that if ever I'm enjoying a tailgate, I just like to show up and kind of mooch off of everyone else's stuff. Like, I'm not big on, because, like, the people who tailgate out there, like the ones who actually supply these tailgates, I would assume you're probably spending $100 on groceries and the steaks you're cooking out there. And everything. Like, it's an expensive thing to put on a good tailgate, right? The alcohol you're bringing out there. So I just want to take part. I don't want to do it.
The most advanced I've gotten, and this is like, this is big for me. But I got these things at Publix. They have these like sub cases. Like, you ever seen those plastic pieces that are shaped like a sub that are supposed to keep your sub, you know, from getting all, you know, soggy or whatever. I have a couple of those, and I brought sandwiches to games, and we we'll eat real quick and then kind of make our way in, but never the full experience out there. But Canes fans, let us know. Maybe we'll do that next year, Dono. All right, a lot of texts have been coming in here this morning as we've been all over the place. And someone said, has anyone seen Jimmy and Tyreek together? They might be the same person. They have kind of been doing the same act here. And I will tell you, I know we see a lot of this on the text line. I don't, you know, the text line certainly doesn't represent the entire fan base. It's a very, very small percent of the fan base, if that. And I just don't know that everyone feels the same way about Jimmy, where they're just, you know, it's unforgivable what he's done. We'll never welcome him back here. They won't put his jersey up. I happen to think that when his career is over, and this is not anytime soon, right? We're talking about 4, 5, 6 years down the road, that things will blow over and they will play a cool video of all the stuff that he did here, and they'll put his jersey up there, because you can't tell the Heat story without the Jimmy Butler era. You know, he's one of the best stars you've ever had down here, right? I mean, I don't want to start ranking, you know, best Heat players of all time, but he's, I don't know, Donovan, he's in my top five.
Yeah, I was going to say he's unquestionably should be in anybody's top 10, and he's probably borderline top five as well. I mean, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, you know, people can debate Shaquille O'Neal, but another one you can't tell the Heat story without. And Shaq actually won a championship here. Zoe, is in there. You know, you can debate whether Jimmy is higher than Timmy Hardaway, but he's right in that conversation, right? I mean, he's right in that tight-knit group of guys. So he's borderline top five, no doubt top 10 Miami Heat players of all time. And, you know, the Heat organization, they tend to go out of their way not to look petty and to try and celebrate, you know, the history and the great players that have come through here. So I don't think there's any doubt, no matter how messy this divorce is right now, and it's probably only going to get even messier before, you know, we finally get this thing settled. A few years down the road, yeah. And also, you know, wherever Jimmy gets traded to, you would imagine, if not his first game back, but one of the first trips back he makes to play a game in Miami, they're probably going to run a video for him, whether fans like that could happen later this season, conceivably. He gets traded to a team that plays Miami later this year. They'll probably run a video for the guy. Whether fans like it or not, the Heat will end up celebrating his time here.
That could be a booing situation, though. Like, I understand that.
For sure.
But now fans, you know, people are texting, oh, you got to boo him now. Like, boo him. And it's like, no, man, you don't need to boo him. There's no reason to do that. I don't know what that accomplishes. But I get that people are upset about him quitting, and that's upsetting to me. It's, again, I didn't want to see this Jimmy thing end this way. I think, you know, and I've been saying this from the beginning, Don, I think Dwayne Wade said it best, that this is a very tragic ending to a pretty good story, right? If you would have told us, you know, Jimmy coming in here, and you know, he brought a lot of baggage with him, right? And if you would have said, hey, we were going to get, you know, three conference finals appearances, two finals appearances, you would have said all that going in. Like, all right, great. That's pretty exciting. And you know what? You ran into a team, that last team they played in the finals, that Denver team, nobody was beating them. That team was as good, reminded me, the way Denver plays reminds me of the Spurs. And remember remember what the Spurs did to the Heat in the finals when they beat them in I don't know the year off the top of my head, but the 14, year that they won, LeBron's last go around here, that was about as good a team basketball as I have ever seen. And I think the Nuggets kind of play that way. And there was no one that was going to beat them. And then, you know, the bubble thing was really exciting, man. And I think people could tend to forget about that, but that was at a time where we really needed something to root for. And we were all hurting down here and everywhere, really. And for us to, you know, be able to have that, you know, team and that run that they went on. And I remember that image of Jimmy just leaning over the scores table, just exhausted. I don't know, man. Jimmy's done a lot down here, and I don't want. Yeah, I know that it's ending ugly, but I don't want to, you know, just kind of throw the guy in the trash and act like, you know, like none of it happened, Dono. We are getting some texts in here. This guy says, I guess Tyreek and Jimmy could share a cab to the airport. Tyreek isn't leaving. That's the other thing. Like, Tyreek is not going anywhere, guys. I really, truly do not think he is leaving. I don't think the Dolphins. They're not going to trade him to the Patriots. I know that's the thing. Some guy, who was it, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN said that the Patriots are in the mix. Like, get out of here, man. Come on.
Like, if you get, I don't know. I don't know what the going rate for Tyreek Hill would be, because he's obviously 3 years older than when the Dolphins acquired him. But if you could get high draft picks, a first round pick, a second round, multiple picks in return, it'd be hard to say no. I'll be honest, even within the division.
Well, the real question is, Dono, and as far as Tyreek Hill goes, and I guess probably at this point only the Dolphins really know the answer, is did he truly lose a step this season? And, you know, Joe was watching all of his games very closely, and he said he thought Tyreek lost a step. And, you know, I know that he said he was dealing with a bunch of injuries throughout the year, and, you know, the quarterback situation this year certainly didn't help, you know, matters, but I wonder, did Tyreek actually lose a step, right? And speed is the number one part of his game. So he's not one of those receivers that, you know, can go up and high point a ball, make a big play and be, you know, the big body type of guy. That thing, unfortunately, the speed is his game. So I wonder if he actually did lose a step.
And he's 30 now. And usually, usually when you talk about receivers whose game is predicated on speed, like you said, that's usually around the time you start to see a drop off, right? Because he's a different sort of receiver even than, you know, a Jerry Rice, who played, I think, late into his 30s, but he was never, speed was never his game. It was the precision and just all the you know, all the other, you know, intangibles that went with just how excellence on every single route and all that, where, you know, Tyreek is a burner. And it's not to say he's not a good, well-rounded receiver, but his game is predicated on speed. And so it is a little bit concerning now that he's on the wrong side of 30, because that's usually the point when that starts to drop off.
If I was a gambling man today, Dono, I would say that they figure it out with Tyreek, and they will. The Dolphins are a very friendly organization. They will talk it out with him. They will figure it out. And my guess, again, if I was betting today, if you know they do those bets on like what team to land a guy, I would think Tyreek Hill will be back with the Dolphins. I also think that they don't want to find out how good Tua is without him. So I don't think that's another. I don't think that's another question that they want to answer here. Texas says you got to come to Buffalo and experience a tailgate up here. Those look wild.
I would love to do that.
Absolutely wild. Let's see, at the Hurricanes tailgates, every tailgater goes in the stadium. If every tailgater goes in the stadium, you couldn't hold everyone. So I guess people do hang out outside. I have had to leave games on occasion at halftime. After I finish the halftime show, if I've had to, you know, do post or whatever, I have noticed that people do seem to hang out in the parking lot. Not a bad place, by the way. Some of those setups are pretty legit. 561 says, get rid of them both. Bye, clowns. You can't just get rid of stars, guys. Can't just get rid of people. You know?
By the way, I found something. I think this was published before the Jeremy Fowler thing about New England. So New England's not even on here. But I see an article from a few days ago on Athlon Sports that has betting odds for Tyreek Hill's next team. Now, you assume Miami keeping him would be the favorite. It says if Hill does leave Miami, odds makers have the Cowboys as the favorite at plus 300, the Las Vegas Raiders at plus 400, and the Atlanta Falcons at plus 500. So apparently there is, I mean, if you give any sports scenario, Hollywood, somebody's already betting on it. There are odds for about any sports scenario out there. So there are sports books apparently keeping odds on Tyreek Hill's next team.
Absolutely bizarre, Dono. Again, I don't see him leaving. Do you? I mean, I got to think he stays.
I will also say that couple things that we have to think about. And you did bring this up when we talked about this earlier in the show. Chris Greer is probably thinking more of the short term than he is of the long term.
Oh, yeah.
It would benefit the short term situation to have Tyreek Hill playing for you, not trading him for draft picks. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is the Miami Dolphins organizationally far more likely to make concessions for a superstar than the Miami Heat are, right? I mean, whatever Hill needs to make him happy and smooth it over, you know, you want Tyreek, you want charter flights. I don't know if he's asking for anything like this, just hypothetically. You know, the stuff that the Heat don't necessarily like giving to Jimmy, the Dolphins would probably be willing to bend over backwards to make sure that Tyreek is happy. So more likely the Dolphins would make concessions than an organization like the Miami Heat.
You would certainly think, all right, we have to make a concession and go to break here, Dono. A lot of texts are coming in here. Dono, the host of the Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, there is no shortage of college football news as well. Hollywood, Dono, Dan Day with you. Joe's back tomorrow, by the way, everyone. Joe is back tomorrow. Flight and weather pending. Always got to give a disclaimer on that one. Never easy. Never easy out there in the
Is he coming from out west?
Yeah. Yeah. So never easy. But he is, that's the plan, at least at the moment, Dono. Someone says a coincidence that this Butler thing happens the first year UD isn't playing.
Ooh, I hadn't even thought about that.
I think UD would have killed him.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Texas says not for nothing, don't give them away, but not a fan of either. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get something in return. The problem is this Tyreek thing. Man, you know, Dono, go back to the thing. He was so close in that press conference. So close. He goes 2 minutes of saying the right thing, and then all of a sudden something flips in his head where he's like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't be the leader this team needs right now. I gotta do this. And he just says, you know, I'm out and whatever he did. And I know he quit during the game too. And just, again, very disappointing, man. Guys that are getting paid what they're getting paid. And, you know, that's the toughest part is that all of us got to go to work. And you see these guys that are getting paid these insane amounts of money. And they just kind of quit and they no show. And, You know, it's I guess it's okay, right? Because Jimmy's going to get everything he wants. Tyreek will get everything he wants, right? If he wants to leave, he'll get to leave, and he'll probably get to, essentially, I would think, pick where he goes. Jimmy has clearly picked where he wants to go, and now we see that Phoenix is loading up on picks so that they can do, they're saying, like a four-team trade here, Dono, three-four-team trade to facilitate this thing for Jimmy. I don't know what Phoenix is thinking. To be quite honest with you, they are a 500 team right now. And again, I just don't know what their plan is or why any team right now is seeing the body of work that Jimmy Butler is putting together and is like, that's our guy. We're gonna ride with that guy for the next 3 years. And that's essentially what the Heat said, right? They said, we're not going to do that. Jimmy can opt in for $53 million. So no one's crying for you right now, Jimmy. But I just don't know what Phoenix is thinking. Unless they, I know they have an owner that likes to spend money, and they want to go all in, but I don't see it.
Yeah, I guess they must be thinking that, hey, this is a mature vet. Well, I mean, maybe I shouldn't use the word mature, but from a basketball point of view, mature, you know, veteran who, when he's motivated and engaged, and when he's on the court, he can absolutely, you know, raise your level to that of a championship caliber team. I mean, he helped elevate, you know, multiple, you know, two Miami Heat teams to the NBA Finals. It probably had no business being there. Maybe they also realize that things usually start off great with Jimmy. It's after a couple of years that things can maybe get sour, that things usually start out well with Jimmy. So maybe that's Phoenix's motivation. I don't know. They figure if we can get that, we could try to extend that honeymoon phase as long as possible where Jimmy is engaged and he's not taking games off and, you know, only playing 60 games a year, that he can raise the Suns' level.
Someone asked if they trade Tyreek and Higgins, if signable, and Waddle, and then he puts three question marks, be good enough? I think so. Man, I don't know, because here's the thing. Tyreek, I know that he was not Tyreek last year. Tyreek's the most electric football player I've ever seen. Me personally, I don't know, everyone's got their own favorites or whatever, but I've never seen a guy with that level of speed and the way that he would burn people. Remember what he did in Kansas City in that playoff game where he's throwing up the peace sign, and he did that a bunch down here, right? He had that monster season, almost got 2,000 yards. I just have never seen a player as electric as that guy, and I think there's a lot of ways you can use him, and I'm not the too deep thing that really bothers Joe. You know, that's why apparently why they've haven't been able to get Tyreek the football, because they're covering him deep. I don't know, Dono. I don't know if he's so easily replaceable here, but with that being said, has he lost a step? I guess really that's something only the Dolphins know right now.
I think he has more than likely lost a step. The other thing is, I mean, you know, I don't think Tyreek is directly replaceable, but I don't think he has to be directly replaceable. If you get assets in return and salary cap space, I think you can allocate that to areas at the line of scrimmage and hopefully increase the toughness of this football team. I think the Dolphins need that more than Tyreek Hill. I mean, listen, that having this track team of an offense that the Dolphins have had for the past few years with all these speedsters at receiver and at running back, it's only gotten you so far. Like, yeah, you put up 70 points once in a regular season game in September, and, you know, as long as it's over 75 degrees, you know, your offense is really exciting. But this is, unfortunately, the track team build has not translated to success in late December and into January, and so maybe the philosophy shift has to come with that. Yeah, I mean, your playmaking ability on your offense would definitely take a hit if you take Tyreek away, because if you take Tyreek away, you're not only taking away his production, you're also taking away a guy that the defense also has to pay extra attention to and can open things up for Jaylen Waddle and company. So I get that, but we've also seen, with despite Tyreek playing at, you know, near MVP level in 2023, your ceiling was still first round and done in the NFL playoffs, because your team just was not tough enough and not physical enough. So maybe that's the focus shift that has to come into play, even if some of your offensive numbers have to take a hit. If you trade Tyreek away, theoretically, hopefully you can focus some of those draft assets and some of the cap money you save into spots you probably need more to raise the floor and the ceiling of this team.
Yeah, we've gotten some texts here. Dono hitting it on the head. Fix the O-line, please. Here's the thing with the O-line, Dono. We have been trying to fix the O-line for as long as I can remember, right?
Yeah. You're going back and to the Marino days.
I'm almost at the point where maybe it's just not fixable.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not something that they're capable of doing. I don't know. I know that, you know, offensive line play in general is not the best, right? I know that, you know, a lot of teams seem to struggle with it, but
yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm almost at the point where I just like, is it even fixable? Like, is there anything they can do? Because they've tried. I mean, it's certainly not for a lack of trying, but the offensive line was clearly an issue this past season. We got to take a pause. We'll come back. We'll close this thing out here on a Wednesday morning. Tobin and Leroy are going to take over. Sure, they'll have a lot of good stuff for you about this Heat and Jimmy Butler situation and some of this college football news. Man, college football doesn't take a day off here, Dono. Dono? Like, we talked a lot today. I don't know how much we got accomplished as far as our disgruntled stars and our bad old line and a lot of stuff here. But you will be back tomorrow. Joe will be back tomorrow as well. I have jury duty tomorrow, Dono, so wish me luck. I've never been. I'm a first-timer.
The last time I did, first of all, you're very lucky you've never been, because I've done 3 times jury duty, and the last time I did it about 3 years ago, I was selected for the jury, and I think it was like a 4-day long trial. It wasn't a criminal thing. It was civil. It was a lawsuit, so it wasn't the most exciting thing in the world, but I was on the jury. And I did learn a lot about the law, Hollywood. Yeah, if you'd be very lucky to get one that's only like a day, like it's probably going to be a week or so, if not longer.
Well, the good news, so you're a very reasonable person, Dono. So I feel like you're kind of like exactly what they're looking for. Hopefully they don't see that in me.
Yeah.
But I want no part in this, but I will go because apparently you have to.
Well, one of the big memories that I had from jury duty, you know, because like the first morning, you know, they I think it makes some people uncomfortable because they ask you questions like in front of everybody else, so you have to like it's not like you're privately answering questions, like the lawyers ask you questions and stuff and the judge will ask you questions. And Hollywood, the amount of excuse making from the other people in the jury pool as to why, like basically begging the judge, I can't come anymore because, you know, I've got, you know, a sick family member, or I've got, you know, kids and all, like there. I was like one of the few people who didn't beg the judge to get off the jury. I think that's why I got selected, because I was just like, the judge was like, hey, is there any reason why you can't be here for the next 3 days? I'm like, not technically, no. All right, you're in.
You're scaring me right now. I don't know what to do here. Hopefully I don't even get called in, right? Isn't that a possibility? Like, you could just sit there for a while and they don't even call you? Like, isn't that the best case scenario?
I thought that would be the case, because like the first time I had jury duty was like when I was like 18, 19, and I never got called in. But I think what happens now is so many people just ignore their summons and don't even show up, that like basically, when I had jury duty, and maybe a lot of people were skipping it because this was like right at the end of COVID, so that might have affected it. But basically, like, you know, the amount of people that showed up, like a third of us got selected, so there weren't like that many people there. So yeah, your odds are pretty good you get on the jury.
And how strict are they, like, as far as showing up on time? Because I got a late night basketball game tonight. Yeah. The Canes are out west.
Ooh.
They're gonna tip it off at 11. And I'm gonna work that thing with Josie tonight. I hope I'm on time, but what are they gonna do?
Well, it'll say on your
it's
your
at 8 a.m. unfortunately.
Yeah, you should probably show up at 8 a.m.
All right, I'm gonna follow Dono's orders here, and I will do that. Joe will be back tomorrow.
But look at it this way: if you were working with Joe, you would have to show up before 6 a.m. So
that's
you're getting
true.
An extra 2 hours.
That's true. So it's a victory, a moral victory.
Yeah.
All right, Dono. Good luck tomorrow. Back with Joe. I will hopefully be back to work on Friday.